Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now the word should have gone out for every member of the team to be here this morning. It should be anyway, but even those that normally aren't able to be here, because God has got a word for every one of us. And if for any reason there isn't, it's not possible for any to be here, please ensure that they do hear this message, because it is for all of us. I speak to you really from the position of having the fear of God on me. Now, some of you heard about the fear of God on Sunday. That can operate in our lives at different levels. And it's an awesome thing when the fear of God suddenly comes upon you. It doesn't mean you weren't living in the fear of God before, but something awesome happens. And that happened to me over the weekend. And God explained to me what is holding up the release into the multiplication, revival, and everything else that he has been promising us. So as we just prayed, I want to try to really be true to what God has been saying, to speak this in love and with absolutely no sense of condemnation or judgment upon any of us, but just that we may humbly sit at the Lord's feet this morning and then respond to what he says. Yes. I suppose it's for the last couple of years or so, I have constantly been speaking about the mercy of God and our need to be merciful. Sometimes I felt like an old gramophone record that keeps repeating itself. The needle gets stuck. And sometimes I've sort of said to the Lord, Lord, we need to move on beyond this. And we do need to move beyond it, but we can't move beyond it until we have actually responded to what God is saying. Let me just explain what happened, then I'm going to take you into the Word, because what matters is the Word. I had all kinds of scriptures ready, and I've left them at home, so I just have to trust the Spirit, which I do anyway. So, I was having a conversation with the pastor of the church where I was ministering over the weekend. And somehow or other, the subject of unforgiveness came up. And he said that he had recently watched something on YouTube, perhaps some of you have seen it, of a young 17-year-old woman who died and was taken by the Lord and shown hell and heaven. And one of the things I have since yesterday watched this myself, and the whole thing is just full of the mercy of God and full of scripture. It's difficult to doubt the authentication of what happened to this girl when she died. God actually told her that she was going to die, but he would bring her back to life after she had visited hell and heaven. And the thing on YouTube is sort of her mother saying what happened to her, and she explaining what happened to her herself and what she saw as a result. But the thing that really hit me was that she saw some groups of people in heaven that she didn't expect to see there. In hell, that she didn't expect to see there. People that had been believers. And when she asked the Lord, "Why are these people here?" He said to her, "Because they refuse to forgive others. And you know clearly that my word, that if you do not forgive others, then your Father in heaven will not forgive you." So they died in a state of unforgiveness. And there were others that were there because they had judged. And the Lord kept quoting the word to this young woman. "You know what my word says, that if you judge, you will be judged yourself with the same judgment with which you judge others." And suddenly the fear of God hit me, even while we were talking. And as far as I was aware, there was nobody that I held anything against, as people have wronged me in all kinds of ways, but as far as I was aware, I've forgiven all of them. But I immediately went away and spent some time with the Lord and got before the Lord. And I said, "Lord, if there is anything, absolutely anything in my heart towards anybody that is negative, if there is any, even the slightest sense of unforgiveness or judgment in my heart towards anybody, please show me that I can repent of it." It was as impacting as that. It's not that I felt I was in danger, but there was just something awesome, tremendously awesome, about all this. And I've been getting into the scriptures as a result of this and listening to what Jesus is saying. That even if you're angry with your brother, you're in danger of judgment. And if you speak against your brother, you're in danger of hellfire. And other scriptures like that, that I don't think we often quote, we perhaps wish weren't there. Now, I know all about salvation and being a gift of God. Those of us who have been here, new students may not have caught up with this yet, but most of us know that salvation is a process in Scripture. And that there's so much that Jesus and others say about the need to persevere to the end. And this was another thing that Jesus was saying to this young woman. Well, these people did not persevere to the end. Speaking of others, you understand. But all the way through this dialogue that was going on between Jesus and this woman, Jesus was making this point. He was saying, "They knew the truth of my word." He was not talking about those who were in ignorance of the word. He was talking about those who knew the word. "They knew the truth of my word. My word had been revealed to them, yet they chose to disobey what I said." awesome. Because we are not ignorant. We have received revelation. Now, there's plenty of scriptures to encourage us that even if we sin, even if we grieve the Lord, even if we fall away from the Lord, even if people backslide, if they repent, they will always be restored. Yes. Because the mercy of God is always there. But the thing about these characters in hell was that they had not availed themselves of the Lord's mercy. They either had not faced up to their sin, or they just persisted in their disobedience. And there were others that had fallen away from the Lord. And again, the Lord was saying, they knew the truth. It wasn't that they were ignorant. They knew the truth. And in the parable of the unmerciful servant, you remember the servant was forgiven this enormous debt. But refused to forgive, by contrast, the paltry debt of his fellow servant. And what did Jesus say at the end of that parable? His master was so angry that he put him in the hands of the jailers to be tortured until the debt that was previously cancelled had been fully repaid. Then Jesus warned, "This is how my heavenly Father will deal with you, unless you are merciful and forgive your brother from your heart." From your heart. The torturers, the jailers. What was happening to these people in hell? They were being tormented. They were being tortured. I mean, there are some pretty graphic descriptions if you ever want to get on YouTube and download it for yourself. And this dear young woman, she didn't want to see all this, and she kept crying out to the Lord to be merciful and said, "Take me out of this place, take me out of this place." And God was saying, "No, you need to see this because I want you to go back, to be restored to life, to warn my people. Warn my people of the danger that they're in if they are not merciful, as I am merciful." So, you know, the Lord showed her this. He took her to heaven. Actually, he gave her visions of angels before he took her there. I mean, it was all great. And then he took her to heaven afterwards. And then he restored her to life. And the last part of the clip is her preaching. It's obviously important. She's part of the revival in Brazil, so it's presumably in Portuguese. But she's really going for it with tears streaming down her eyes. As she's preaching, she's almost weeping. Because what she saw was that when Jesus showed her all these things that were going on, these people, the Lord was weeping. The Lord was weeping over them, and he was saying things like, you know, "I didn't send my son to die, that they would end up like this." They had the revelation of the truth. They had the life. And yet they disobeyed my word. They didn't heed the warnings of my word. And of course, if we grieve the Lord, then we ourselves become grieved. Whatever we do to him bounces back onto us. And if you go through several of the parables that Jesus says about the kingdom of heaven, he said, the kingdom of heaven will be taken away from those who belong to it and will be given to others. Which is a bit awesome. Now you could say that in the context he says that, he's referring primarily to the Jews for whom the kingdom should have been their inheritance, and that he will give it to others, give it to Gentiles. But there's sort of a principle here. Now, at the same time, alongside all of this, there is so much in Scripture about having the assurance of our eternal destiny. But if you look closely at the word, again and again, God is saying, if you persevere in faith to the end. And you see, the very thing that the enemy wants to do is to hinder that perseverance. The very thing he wants to do is to encourage us to be disobedient to the word, because he knows the consequences himself of disobedience to the word. I'm not preaching this girl's message, I'm preaching the word of God here. But it's interesting, you know, some of the actual characters that she saw there and why they were there. I'm not going to get into that because that doesn't affect us. But you understand that none of us can gainsay God. We can't choose what we want to believe in the Word of God and leave out what we don't want to believe, want to accept. And, you know, I've been preaching the last couple of weeks, and was actually preaching the weekend to these leaders that I was speaking to in this conference, that scripture from Revelation, where the Spirit is speaking to the church in Ephesus, and you remember he was congratulating them for all their hard work, for all their perseverance, for this, that, and the other. Because obviously it was a good church, and they were doing well at one level. And then the Lord said, but this I hold against you, you have lost your first love. And it was almost as I was sort of praying through this, after this fear of God came upon me, it was as if the Lord was saying, this is what I hold against kingdom faith. This is what is hindering my purposes among you. And the clincher for me was actually not that girl's revelations, because I hadn't seen them. I'd only just heard this thing about those that refused to forgive were not forgiven themselves, and that had eternal consequences. But the Lord immediately reminded me, he said, now, when did you live closest to me that you have ever known? And I said, well, Lord, during the revival at the Hyde. And he said, do you remember that I would not even allow any of you to pray if you even had a wrong thought about another? And it was like that. If anybody in the room had a wrong thought, God would not allow us to pray. And I would have to say, there's sin in the room. And somebody would confess, oh, you know, I had a critical thought about someone, or I said something unkind about this one. And they were often so minor compared to what we are used to. And yet it stopped us praying because we were living so close to God. And you see, the Lord said to me, when this fear of God came upon me, the Lord said to me, you see, Colin, I don't change. Yes. That's what it's always like when you're close to me. And the only reason why these things can persist in your lives, talking about as corporate, the only why is because you're not as close to me now as you were then. And he showed me the further, if you just take this hand to represent Jesus and this hand to represent you or me or any of us, or us corporately even, if you're close to the Lord, then you're going to be so sensitive, so sensitive, that even just a wrong thought is going to bring such conviction upon you, the Holy Spirit will not allow you to pray. Now, I mean, there's a lot more went on then, but that's the issue that God is confronting us with this morning. And then the Lord showed me, the further you get away, the more you will allow in your life that is not my will. So he showed me, you see, if there is any unforgiveness in the heart, if there is any judgment, if there is any criticism in any of your hearts towards one another, you are separated from me by that criticism and you cannot get nearer to me. You cannot get back into that place of revival until those things are dealt with. And he said to me, I've had you preach this again and again and again and again in the last months because I have been aware of this. And still, the problem has persisted within the body. We're not just the body, there's the whole church. But the Lord knows our hearts. And he's saying, you cannot get to that place that you are longing to get, no matter how much you pray and how much you believe that I want you back in that place of revival. You cannot get there until there is purity in your hearts towards one another.
Yes.
Until there is absolutely no semblance in your heart, you must forgive one another from your hearts. From your hearts. I know some people have harbored things against me, and I've prayed for them and all the rest, some people that have left the church and so on, left in, well, a bad spirit, you'd have to say. And I pray that they would get restored, not to me, but get restored to God, because I realize, well, if they've left in a state of unforgiveness, they cannot be in a good place with God. They must be here somewhere. Or even here somewhere. And I said, Lord, when will I know that they've been restored? And he said, when they come to you and ask for forgiveness. When they ask for your forgiveness, you know that the repentance in their hearts is real. And they're no longer deceiving themselves, that they have the justification to judge, to be angry with Kingdom Faith, with any of the leaders, with you or anybody else. Now, on the other hand, we could say, well, God has taken those people out, but you see, I'm concerned about them, and there are some particular people that when I've been praying for them, I have felt, and I wouldn't have been able to tell you why I felt it, but I just felt in my spirit that they were in danger, real danger. And that intensified my prayer. I can remember, those of you who know about it, I'm not going to explain it, but when all the business happened in Bergen, I was on my face for hours and hours and hours praying for those leaders that had done what they did to Pastor Ennevold, because I could see they were in mortal danger of their souls. And I spent hours praying for them, asking the Lord to be merciful to them, because I knew other people had received prophecies that they would all be under judgment and all kinds of terrible things happened in their lives. But, you know, if if terrible things happen now in order to bring them back to God, then it's better that than to be in a place of eternal damnation, fire, yes, torment. And Jesus said that the unmerciful servant would be in torment until his debt was paid. But how can the debt be paid except by faith in Jesus? Yes. So this is awesome. But you see, what every one of us has to do is to look to ourselves. And not just about this, but this was the particular issue that God said to me. This is why I've had you preach it again and again and again. Because Kingdom Faith cannot get to that place of revival, that place close to me, until this issue is dealt with in the whole body. I would love to have brought you another message of the great love of Jesus, but you know, this is the amazing thing, you see. Before this message, he brings us a fresh revelation of his love and a fresh revelation of his mercy. And in that revival in at the high, many of you have heard me say it, but you see, When the Lord walked into the room in his holiness, we just had 5 weeks of repentance, which was glorious because people were getting liberated. They weren't in a bad place when we started, but we were all in a much better place after 5 weeks of heart cleansing from the Lord. But when he walked in the room in his holiness, we were pinned to the floor for hours. Everybody in the room was openly confessing sin at the same time. Nobody was listening to anybody else because everybody was at it. And you see, we didn't... This was where we were confessing things that we had not seen for ourselves or had not faced for ourselves. God showed us our hearts as he saw them, and it was devastating. I mean, we were devastated. That's the only way I can say it, to suddenly see ourselves, our hearts as God sees them. We were devastated. And that went on for 2 or 3 hours. And then suddenly, there was such a tremendous revelation of the mercy of God. It was as if the Lord says, well, I know all these things, I see all these things, nothing can be hidden from me. He even says in the scripture that all hell is open to him. He sees everything that is going on there in the scriptures. And there was this tremendous, tremendous revelation of his mercy. And that's it, you see. We live in the mercy of God. Daily, his mercies are new every morning, aren't they? Yeah. Daily we live in the mercy of God. So the only way, according to Jesus, the only way to live daily in the mercy of God is to be merciful to others. Yeah. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And you see, it isn't, my friends, it isn't whether we are content ourselves with our attitudes towards others. When the fear of God comes upon you, you see how he sees things. And what has been whispered will be shouted from the rooftops if there isn't repentance. So I got before God and I said, Lord, Lord, show me if there is anything, even a glimmer, even the slightest trace of unforgiveness in my heart towards anyone. Please, Lord, show me. Because as far as I was concerned, you know, I wasn't harboring anything against anyone, but that doesn't mean that God can't see what I don't see for myself. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. And often we don't see things because we don't want to see things. And, you know, we start justifying ourselves, even though we know self-justification is as filthy rags in the sight of God. but we tend to do it even perhaps without realizing we're doing it. And I was saying, Lord, if I've been guilty of that in any way whatsoever, please show me. I want my heart to be absolutely... I was in fear of God. It wasn't that I was fearing going to hell. I don't fear going to hell, praise God. No. It wasn't out of fear. It was out of love for God. It was out of concern for the truth. It was, and then when he spoke this word about what he needs to do in kingdom faith for us to draw near to him, I said, oh, Lord, forgive us. Don't want there to be anything here that is going to hinder and prevent your finest and best purposes for us. Can a few people have that influence for the whole body? Well, presumably. But I don't know that God will do that. But what I am sure of is that when God confronts you with something and you don't respond, then he will not move until you do respond. And I knew that as I was going to bring this keynote this morning, the Lord was saying to me, don't just bring another message about forgiving one another and not judging one another. Spell it out. And spell out how I am grieved. Because I do not want my purposes here to be held up for any reason. Least of all, something like this. That really grieves the Lord and can have such consequences. So, what are we going to do? Well, I think the only thing we can do is what I did and just say, well, Lord, show us anything. We all need clean hearts and a right spirit. Towards him, towards others, towards everyone. But when the Lord has spoken like he has, you know, this I hold against you, kingdom faith. And, you know, it isn't as if there's great divisions tearing us apart or anything like that. It's that God is discerning something. And God is saying that we cannot move into the place where he wants us until this issue is dealt with. And this is what revival is all about, isn't it? It's living at one with him. And anything of this nature clearly would have the effect of detracting from that. I could take you, Lord, I've got all these scriptures. But I think probably we've made the point without going into a whole lot more scriptures. But I want you to understand that this does not invalidate all we believe about salvation, about our inheritance, about being co-heirs with Christ. And when you think of the prodigal son who went away and wasted his inheritance, he was a son of the house. He was not a non-believer. He was not someone outside the family. He was a son of the house. He was, in our terms, a believer. And he went off into a debauched lifestyle, but he was restored. But you see, the elder brother who judged him could not go into the feast, or did not go into the feast, because of his heart of judgment. At a time like this, when God brings a word, everybody has to look to themselves. But not, as I say, you know, just to do that yourself, because you will miss the stuff. But to really want God, show me my heart as you see it. Show me. You know, as the scripture said, show me if there is any wicked way in me. Show me if there is any semblance of judgment. Show me if there's any semblance of unforgiveness in my heart. Show me, Lord. Because I want rivers of love to be flowing out of my heart. I want to be in place of unity with everybody else. And you see, what God will not permit now is a casual attitude to this. Because he's spoken to us continuously about it for some time. It's kept coming up, not only from me, but from other preachers as well. And it's as if God is saying, right, now's the time for us to do something about this. Now's the time for us to respond. Because God wants to take us on. But we have to understand the seriousness as far as God is concerned, the seriousness of this, that we can only go on in the mercy of God. And if we're going to see revival, revival is all about bringing others into the mercy of God. It's about reaching the lost and bringing them into the salvation. But if we're not living in the mercy of God ourselves, how in his name are we ever going to bring the multitudes into his mercy that God intends? And Jesus is absolutely clear. You can't live in his mercy if you're not merciful. It doesn't matter how strong your faith is in your salvation. You still are not living the saved life if you're not living in his mercy, and therefore you are being merciful towards others. Satan is a thief. And he loves to sow seeds of condemnation and judgment and accusation in the hearts of people because he knows. You see, where does Satan want people? Satan wants people in the torment. And he knows that the quickest way to do that, certainly as far as any believers are concerned, is to get them to be unmerciful. After all, not only God knows who's in hell, but Satan knows who is there as well. Think about that. So, my friends, there's so much here, so many scriptures I could quote, but I think we've got the message, haven't we? So now it's for us to respond. You see, some people that live some way from the Lord would probably think, well, a message like this is really for those. No, you can be just that far away and God would bring this message because being that far away isn't being there. And perhaps I'm the only one. Pastor Clive was there when all this was happening at the Hyde, but none of you have actually known that time and what it's like to live in a time like that. Amazing, wonderful, totally demanding, totally absorbing. But that's where we need to be, my friends, because that's where God wants us, and that's where God needs us to be so that his purposes for us can be fulfilled. Let's pray. I'm not going to lead you. I want you just to get before God. You can sit, stand, kneel, stand on your head if you like, so long as you're responding to this word. Don't parry it away. you would be the most deceived person in the room if you were saying to yourself, this doesn't apply to me. When the fear of God came upon me, you see, you immediately say, Lord, just show me anything, anything, anything. That grieves you. I believe the Lord is saying that you can't forgive others unless you are forgiven. In other words, you must know the mercy of God towards you. And then you can't be forgiven if you don't. It's like an endless circle, isn't it? Because He has been so merciful to you already, you have to be merciful to others. The Lord is saying, you know the word. You know the truth. So you can't be guilty of these things and think it doesn't matter. Don't just kneel or lie there silent. This is a time to pour out your heart to God, then listen if He's showing you things you need to see, and then respond to those things. So a kind of dialogue begins to take place. Jesus said, I tell you that simply to be angry with your brother is enough to bring you under judgment. Anyone who condemns his brother will be in danger of being condemned himself to the fire of hell. Those are the words of Jesus. The tongue is like fire, for it can give rise to such evil that it is able to corrupt your whole life. It can ruin the whole course of your life when it is set on fire by the fire of hell. The Word of God. Remember, God's purpose is always to save you from the judgment you deserve. I haven't come to condemn, but to save. I did not come to judge, but to save. If you do not judge others, you will not be judged yourselves. If you do not condemn others, you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. The words of Jesus. I have sinned and I have been forgiven. So no one can condemn me for that sin. You have sinned in the past, you have been forgiven. No one can condemn you for those sins, as they no longer exist. That's what God wants to do this morning. Take us to the place where these sins no longer exist. That as we forgive others, so He forgives us. And there's peace and harmony and unity. I believe the Lord is saying to some people here, that hurt that you've been holding on to, let it go. Because it's hurting you and will go on hurting you until you let it go, until you forgive. So often when we judge others, we're totally wrong, you know. We're wrong in our assessment of them, of what they've done, and so on. And that's another thing to pray for. Lord, forgive me if I've condemned people wrongly, spoken against them wrongly, thought about them wrongly, blamed about them wrongly, blamed them wrongly. Always behind unforgiveness and judgment, always, is a heart of pride. So just ask the Lord to break you of that pride. It wasn't hurt, it was pride that led you to judge others. It wasn't a sense of injustice, it was pride. Recognize it for what it was. Seek the Lord's forgiveness. Lord, I've been so proud that I dared to judge, I dared to condemn. Forgive me. Paul says in Romans, God is the only one who can judge, punish, or demonstrate anger, as he himself has told us. The writer to Hebrews says, we are confident that you will not deny what you know to be the truth, but will remain steadfast in your faith and live in the good of your salvation. You cannot accuse God of being unjust. He will never forget your faithful work nor the love for him that you have shown by continuing to help his people. We urge every one of you to continue in this faithfulness to the very end. Then you will not need to fear the outcome, but will be certain about your hope of eternal life with God. This is why we do not want you to become spiritually lazy, but rather to be like those who inherit what he has promised, because they persevere patiently in their faith. We have left behind the deceptiveness of the world and have taken hold of the sure and certain hope of what lies ahead. And this should cause us to be greatly encouraged. The hope of what awaits us in the future is a firm anchor for our souls. This truth keeps us secure and means that we have access directly into the Holy of Holies, God's very presence. He wants us close. He wants us close. In the Holy of Holies, in the glory. Living at one with Him, living out our salvation. He wants us close. Oh Lord, let there be nothing to hinder that closeness. Nothing to hinder our unity with You. Nothing that would hold up Your purposes for us personally or corporately here, Kingdom Faith. The young 17-year-old that had this vision had, in her earlier teens, gone right away from the Lord, and she doesn't say what exactly she got into, but it obviously wasn't good. God brought her back and restored her. And she started crying out in her heart for the Lord, to really know the Lord, to really be close to the Lord. To really see things as He sees them and understand them as He understands them. Doesn't that need to be the cry of our hearts? A real cry from the heart. Oh Lord, I want to know You. I want to be close to You, Lord. I don't want anything, anything, anything to keep me apart from You, anything to come between You and me. Oh Lord, I want to be in that place where I know You, love You, can just be at one with Your will, with understand who You are, understand Your will, understand Your ways. One with You in that bond of love, which means that love will flow out of me, not judgment. Mercy will flow out of me, not condemnation and criticism. Rivers of life flowing out of me, Lord. That's what I want, rivers of life flowing in. Not rivers of negativity, but all those positive rivers of Your life, of Your love, of Your power, of Your goodness, of Your mercy, of Your loving kindness. Oh God, give me such a heart. Lord, love that is shown to everyone, not love for some, but something else towards others. No, Lord, I want to be consistent, that love is flowing out of my heart towards everybody, towards anybody. Anybody, Lord, that crosses my path, anyone that comes into my experience, anyone that touches my life, or anyone whose life I touch. I want that love flowing out, Lord. I want that mercy. I want that loving kindness. I want that compassion. Oh Lord, release the rivers of Your life in our lives. Lord, release, bring us to that place corporately, Lord, that You want us, so that nothing is going to hold up any longer, any further, the plans and purposes that You have for us. Lord, You've given us so many wonderful promises. You've given us such wonderful vision of what You want to do through Kingdom Faith. And Lord, we know that the world is groaning in travail, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Lord, we believe that in some real sense this nation is waiting for the revival to take place amongst us and amongst other groups all over the nation. Lord, work in us, work in those other groups that are really seeking You with all their hearts. Lord, whatever it is that's holding back and preventing that revival from actually beginning, deal with us, Lord. Deal with them. Just in Your love, in Your compassion, in Your mercy, Lord, put Your finger on those things that You hold against us, so that we can repent, and so that those things can be dealt with, and so that the move of God can take place. And we thank You, Lord. We praise You. Oh, we thank You that You're such a God of mercy, such a God of compassion, such a God of love, that You don't judge and condemn us, but You give us time for repentance, and You speak to us, Lord. You discipline those You love. You call us back to You. You call us back to the best place. You break us of that pride. You break us of our independence. You break us, Lord, of all that self-righteousness. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.
that in your love for us, you will not allow us to persist in those things that actually are damaging us, that actually are holding up your plan and purpose for each of us individually as well as corporately. Thank you, Lord, that in your love, you bring us to the place where we feel we have to face these things. Oh, Lord, I bless you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I exalt you. Oh, forgive us, Lord, that sometimes we're so slow. You speak to us again and again and again about these issues. And again and again and again, we need to hear what you're saying because we haven't responded in the way you desire. So, Lord, I just pray that this morning will be a watershed. The Lord is going to take us right into a new place with you, that you won't have to keep on about this particular subject because we have responded from our hearts. Oh, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I exalt you. Come on, let's really just release that prayer. Don't just kneel or lie there silent.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.